Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Throughout Asia and Europe, Americans have the undeserved reputation of being authors of the most materialistic civilization that ever existed. The undeserved reputation. Because never was there a culture so completely unmaterialistic. I define a materialist as a person who loves material and who reverences it and who delights in using it to its best advantage. And if you will examine the system of education through which most of our children are compelled to pass, you will discover that it imparts almost no knowledge whatsoever of any kind of material competence. Our education is exclusively bookish and is designed on the whole to train people to be bureaucrats, bankers' clerks, insurance salesmen, teachers, and we hope intellectuals. It is a curious thing, but in its weak moments, it admits that there are a lot of people going through the scheme who really will never qualify for graduate school. Not even perhaps for college. And for these, it must provide, rather regretfully, some courses which train them for other things. It's always a joke among Europeans that in American colleges, you can get an AB, you can get credits towards an AB for courses in basket weaving. This isn't really so funny as it looks, because when it is the ideal that sort of everyone should go to college, if possible, you have to adjust to facts. You can't have a nation, you can't have a society in which everyone is always occupied in intellectual and computational pursuits. A few people have to be around who know how to handle the material world in a gracious way. And for these people, we provide only regretfully as an afterthought the people who might otherwise be dropouts in high school should be given some courses which would prepare them for trades in carpentry, metallurgy, even perhaps auto mechanics. Furniture makers, cooks, and so on. But as a rule, because these kinds of education in the academic world are provided only with regret, they are provided in a slovenly fashion. We simply do not relate to the material world. And we are increasingly lacking in any kind of competence in handling physical matter. except in such far-out cases as people who make jet aircraft and certain very sophisticated types of scientific instruments, where it is absolutely necessary that there be the highest degree of mastery. Aside from that, because of the lack of material competence, our life is extremely drab. It is simply astonishing that the wealthiest nation on earth simply does not know how to enjoy itself in a material and obvious way. Now, you would think, you see, if you were just an ordinary kind of a horse sense kind of person, that the richest nation on earth would have a whale of a good time. You would think that with all the money one earns, even at doing a factory job, that when the hours of work are over, that people would go home with all the money that they earn, which makes them princes by comparison with Indians and Chinese, that they would go home to fantastic banquets, marvelous orgies, and riots of pleasure all the night through. This would simply be common sense to people who did not suffer from Protestant ethic. But in fact, what happens is this, that we've got life strictly divided into two categories, work and play. Work, on the whole, is something that you do to get money, and you are paid to do it because so much work is so deplorably boring that nobody wants to do it, so they'll pay someone else to do it instead. So while you do it, you watch the clock. You put in your hours, and then you get money for having done it. And then you're supposed to go home and enjoy yourself and have fun. Well, but what do? You get home, and instead of having fun, the main thing is to watch TV. And TV is an electronic reproduction of existence, which is cut off from you by a glass wall. It has no smell. If you are very rich, it has color. But you are as in a zoo, where you look at something beyond the bar, where it says, do not touch the exhibits. You cannot touch it. You cannot mingle with it. You merely witness it in a passive way. And while you do this, you are served a TV dinner, which is something that was originally animal and vegetable, that has been frozen so as to deprive it of almost any taste at all. It is then warmed over, and you eat it, not because you enjoy eating it, but because it's good for you. It enables you to continue living because it has been carefully studied that it has in it exactly the right amount of calories, carbohydrates, and vitamins. And many of such preparations are served with a small label which contains a scientific formula on them as to all the good things for you which it contains. It tastes of nothing whatsoever, and you eat this while you watch this show going on. You may wash it down with a soft drink that's vaguely alcoholic called beer. And in the meantime, you get absorbed by the spectacle going on in front of you, in which you do not participate, you merely witness it. And it goes on long enough for you to be tired enough to go to sleep. This is supposed to be a life of pleasure. Generally speaking, you see, we really are not materialists at all. We don't love material. We hate it.
Thank you. The confusion of money in any form whatsoever with wealth is one of the major problems from which civilization is suffering.
I've often said that I wished people could realize all their dreams and wealth and fame, and so that they could see that it's not where you're going to find your sense of completion.
But our culture, our civilization, is entirely hung up on the notion that money has an independent reality of its own.
As a Beatle, we made it, and there was nothing to do. We had money, we had fame, and there was no joy.
I believe that I had to become a famous idea and get all the stuff that people dream about, accomplish a bunch of things that look like success in order to give up my attachment to those things.
One might say then that we are confused through and through about what we mean by the material world. In the first place, we confuse abstract symbols, that is to say numbers and words and formulae, with physical events, as we confuse money with consumable wealth.
Are you a rich man?
What do you mean rich? What do you mean?
Do you have a lot of possessions? A lot of money in the bank?
Possession make you rich? I don't have that type of richness. My richness is life, forever.
We are thinking about vast abstractions, ideologies called communism, capitalism, all these systems, and paying less and less attention to the world of physical reality, to the world of earth and trees and waters, people.
I think all our society is run by insane people for insane objectives. And I think that's what I sussed when I was 16 and 12 way down the line. It's the same thing I'm expressing all the time. But now I can put it into that sentence that I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends, you know.
The one thing we die for, nothing but pain, stuck in this game, searching for fortune and fame.
We're all familiar with the anecdotal examples of people winning lotteries, lottos, football pools, and deteriorating, because wealth in itself has no meaning. We are all aware too of the native and indigenous tales that regard the accumulation of material products as a kind of disorder. We live in a sick society where we've prioritized materialism over idealism. We have no values or principles. We have people racing to the conclusion of an argument that has no values, no deep truth in it. We have people spending their whole lives acquiring fortunes that they're never going to use, don't need, that are meaningless, that can never fulfill them. A materialistic life as well is a commitment to the idea that there is no deeper ulterior meaning. The only thing that matters is the acquisition of objects, accruing more material, accruing more power, accruing more resources. If that becomes your ideology, because ultimately, fundamentally, it isn't true, because there is a realm beyond the reach of the senses that we are nevertheless impacted by, our consciousness itself resourced from this deep well, you are living in an illusion with every object you purchase. You are living in a nihilistic space, a place desiccated of the richness of meaning, a dry, barren landscape papered over with privilege. One of the things I've been granted by my own limited experiences of fame and fortune is that it is dumb, empty, inane. I have announced my apostasy many times. Celebrity can't fulfill you. It's a peculiar religion. Wealth, privilege, these are odd ideologies, and they embed themselves in you. It's so difficult to free yourself from the toxicity of it once you've experienced it. I'm not asking for sympathy. Of course I'm not. I'm describing the situation.
And the principle is that any time you, as it were, voluntarily let up control, in other words, cease to cling to yourself, you have an access of power. Because you're wasting energy all the time in self-defense, trying to manage things, trying to force things to conform to your will. The moment you stop doing that, that wasted energy is available. And therefore, you are, in that sense, having that energy available, you are one with the divine principle. You have the energy. When you're trying, however, to act as if you were God, that is to say, you don't trust anybody and you're the dictator and you have to keep everybody in line, you lose the divine energy. Because what you're doing is simply defending yourself.
So then, the principle is, the more you give it away, the more it comes back.
Most of us are trying to make the big bank account, but very few people are working on developing themselves. But the more you develop yourself, the more you tap into what you already have in you, the more you work on your creativity, the more you work on your unique voice, the more you understand what's unique about you. So you have in you these abilities. And most of the time we ignore that because we're trying to get the money in the bank versus actually raise our value, our understanding of ourselves, our uniqueness, our creativity, what your skills are, what is so unique about you that makes you not replaceable. Now, the more you do that, the more the entire bank account system could totally collapse and you'll still be fine because you're capable of bringing value to the world that's beyond just money. You're bringing value to the world and you'll be taken care of for that. So one of the most important things you can do is work on you, not work on just filling the bank account. And if you have a decent bank account or a medium bank account or even a very little one, use that to work on you. Develop your creativity. Create a studio. Go to things that will help you learn more about you. There are so many things that are worth so much money in you. But most of us ignore those things and try to get the external. And that's the shortcut that stops you from meeting what's nuts about you, what's insane about you, what's original about you. And every person has such a brilliant, unique, original thing, and very few people invest in themselves. You have that. You have that in you. Every person has that, but their focus is on the wrong thing. It's on how do I get money versus how do I raise my value, not my bank account's value, my value. You are an infinite supply. You are the apple tree, and your job is to access that.
See, that fact that everything is in decay is your helper. That is allowing you that you don't have to let go because there's nothing to hold on to. It's achieved for you, in other words, by the process of nature. So once you see that you just don't have a prayer, and it's all washed up, and that you will vanish and leave not a rack behind, and you really get with that, suddenly you find you have the power, this enormous access of energy. But it's not power that came to you because you grabbed it. It came in entirely the opposite way. And power that comes to you in that opposite way is power with which you can be trusted. We are recognized by the fact that one day you face the same way as you did the day before. And people recognize your facing. So they say that's John Doe or Mary Smith. But actually the contents of your face, whatever they may be, the water, the carbons, the chemicals, are changing all the time. And everything is like that. It's pattern. And this is why it's so spiritual. To be non-spiritual is not to see that, to identify with the body. The body is really very intangible. And so therefore, if you cling to the body, you will be frustrated. The material world, the world of nature, is marvelous. So long as you don't try to lean on it. So long as you don't cling to it. And if you don't cling to it, you can have a wonderful time with it. If you try to possess people, then of course you are trying to cling to the physical world. So one might say then that we are confused through and through about
what we mean by the material world. In the first place, we confuse abstract symbols, that is to say, numbers and words and formulae, with physical events, as we confuse money with consumable wealth. In the second place, we confuse physical events with matter. But matter, you see, is an idea, it's a concept. It's the concept of stuff, of something solid and permanent that you can catch hold of. Now, you just can't catch hold of the physical world. The physical world is the most evasive, elusive process that there is. It will not be pinned down, and therefore it fulfills all the requirements of spirit. So what I'm saying then is that the non-abstract world is the spiritual world. But we're all hooked on the idea that there is, you see, an external objective world, which is a certain way. But people always have to feel that they've got to find a meaning. For example, you get sick and you've lived a very good life. And you've been helpful to other people and done all sorts of nice things. And you get cancer. And you say to the clergyman, why did this have to happen to me? And you're looking for an explanation, and there isn't one. It just happened that way. But people feel if they can't find an explanation, they feel very, very insecure. Why? Because they haven't been able to straighten things out. The world is not that way. It is you, in other words, who evoke the world, and you evoke the world in accordance with what kind of a you are, what kind of an organism. One organism evokes one world, another organism evokes another world. And so everything, reality is a kind of relationship. So once one gets rid of the idea of the truth as some way the world is in a fixed sense, say, it is that way, see? Then you get to another idea of the truth altogether. The truth that cannot be pinned.
Overnight shoppers clamoring in stores for Black Friday deals.
Look at that right there. Wall Street ending one of the worst weeks of trading since the financial crisis in 2008.
This Manhattan Beach, California home recently sold for Bitcoin.
The confusion of money in any form whatsoever with wealth is one of the major problems from which civilization is suffering. When we first began to use symbols to represent the events of the physical world, we found this such an ingenious device that we became completely fascinated with it. And in ever so many different dimensions of life, we are living in a state of total confusion between symbol and reality. But our culture, our civilization, is entirely hung up on the notion that money has an independent reality of its own. We are thinking about vast abstractions, ideologies called communism, capitalism, all these systems, and paying less and less attention to the world of physical reality, to the world of earth and trees and waters, people. The idea of the material world, it is in its own way a symbol. That is to say, if you buy the word material, you mean some sort of basic stuff out of which the world is made. Physical world. This is a concept. This is simply an idea. And if you want to ask me to differentiate between the physical and the spiritual, I will not put the spiritual in the same class as the abstract, but most people do. The poet says, the hills are shadows, and they flow from form to form, and nothing stands. Because the physical world is diaphanous. It's like music. When you play music, it simply disappears. There's nothing left. And that, for that very reason, it is one of the highest and most spiritual of the arts. Because it is the most transient. And so, in a way, you might say that transiency is a mark of spirituality. A lot of people think the opposite, that the spiritual things are the everlasting things. But you see, the more a thing tends to be permanent, the more it tends to be lifeless. The physical world, we can't even find any stuff out of which it's made. We can only recognize each other. We are recognized by the fact that one day you face the same way as you did the day before. And people recognize your facing. So they say that's John Doe or Mary Smith. But actually the contents of your face, whatever they may be, the water, the carbons, the chemicals, are changing all the time. And everything is like that. It's pattern. And this is why it's so spiritual. To be non-spiritual is not to see that, to identify with the body. The body is really very intangible. And so therefore, if you cling to the body, you will be frustrated. The material world, the world of nature, is marvelous, so long as you don't try to lean on it, so long as you don't cling to it. And if you don't cling to it, you can have a wonderful time with it. If you try to possess people, then of course you are trying to cling to the physical world. So one might say then that we are confused through and through about what we mean by the material world. In the first place, we confuse abstract symbols, that is to say numbers and words and formulae, with physical events, as we confuse money with consumable wealth. In the second place, we confuse physical events with matter. But matter, you see, is an idea, it's a concept. It's the concept of stuff, of something solid and permanent that you can catch hold of. Now, you just can't catch hold of the physical world. The physical world is the most evasive, elusive process that there is. It will not be pinned down, and therefore it fulfills all the requirements of spirit. So what I'm saying then is that the non-abstract world is the spiritual world. But we're all hooked on the idea that there is, you see, an external objective world, which is a certain way. But people always have to feel that they've got to find a meaning. For example, you get sick, and you've lived a very good life, and you've been helpful to other people and done all sorts of nice things. Then you get cancer. And you say to the clergyman, why did this have to happen to me? And you're looking for an explanation, and there isn't one. It just happened that way. But people feel if they can't find an explanation, they feel very, very insecure. Why? Because they haven't been able to straighten things out. The world is not that way. It is you, in other words, who evoke the world, and you evoke the world in accordance with what kind of a you are. What kind of an organism? One organism evokes one world, another organism evokes another world. And so everything, reality is a kind of relationship. So once one gets rid of the idea of the truth as some way the world is in a fixed sense, say it is that way, see? Then you get to another idea of the truth altogether. The truth that cannot be pinned.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.